Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the second line from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. In our previous sugya, we were discussing Shita Shmuel regarding one who voluntarily offers a wine offering to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach. Shmuel says that he brings, the person who made the dedication brings wine and sprinkles it on the fire. The question was raised, how could you sprinkle wine on the fire? Is that not going to be responsible for extinguishing the fire partially? And there is a pasuk that indicates that one is not allowed to extinguish the fire on the Mizbeach. So the basic answer to this was, as far as Shmuel is concerned, that partial extinguishing is not considered extinguishing. The Gemara went on to show that the sprinkling on the Mizbeach could, in fact, be a problem. To this we answered that as far as the source that indicates that sprinkling on the fire of the wine is a problem, that goes according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Dover Sheinu Miskavein is Osir, that even though something is done unintentionally, if the actual act is problematic, and in this case extinguishing the fire on the Mizbeach is a problem, this particular opinion, and it is that of Rabbi Yehuda, that holds Dover Sheinu Miskavein, an unintentional act, is nevertheless prohibited. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Shimon, that says, Dover Sheinu Miskavein, if your intention is not to extinguish the fire, but it happens to get extinguished as you are sprinkling the wine, that nevertheless is okay. It's mutter. The Gemara now asks, from the point that we are going to be picking up our discussion, second line from the bottom, the topic heading that we have for this particular section of Gemara in the outside margin, you can see the Nosei, which represents the topic heading, Biur im Shmuel Sovik Rabbi Shimon. We are going to try to clarify if Shmuel holds, in fact, like Rabbi Shimon, the Dover She'eno Miskavein Mutter, that an act that is unintentional, when we speak about unintentional, we're talking about the issue of extinguishing the fire. He, the person who's bringing the wine, intends to offer the wine. He doesn't have intention of extinguishing the fire. So is it in fact so that Shmuel holds like that Shita, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara asks, L'meimro de Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon svirolei? Are you suggesting that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon? Shmuel said, Mizalfo al-Ishim, who said, sprinkle the fire, the wine on the fire. How could that be, though? The Omar Shmuel, Shmuel has been known to say that with regard to Hilchus Shabbos, if one encounters a burning piece of metal on Shabbos, Gacheles Shel Mateches, a metal coal, Birishus HaRabim, that's found in a public thoroughfare, Shmuel says that one is Mechabin Gacheles Shel Mateches, Birishus HaRabim, Bishvil Shelo Yizoku BaRabim. Rashi points out at the very bottom, Gacheles Shel Mateches, Lav Bas Kibui Hu. Metal is not something to which we assign the property of being extinguished. And as a result of that, since it doesn't lend itself to that act of extinguishing, even though you've got a red-hot piece of metal, this nevertheless is not called kibui. It's not called kibui as far as halachic categories are concerned. And Rashi says, v'isur d'rabbanan hu d'ika. This is merely a rabbinic prohibition of dousing a piece of red-hot metal. Uvamokum hezek rabban lo gozu rabbanan. And since this metal coal is found in the public thoroughfare, it could cause damage to the way, to the wayfarers and the passersby. Therefore, one is allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos. Avol lo gacheles shel eitz. However, if a similar situation involved a wooden coal, a coal whose origin is wood, this would not be allowed. The extinguishing of the wooden coal in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, the Isakadaitakir Bishimon Svirle, if it's so that Shmuel adopts the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Afilu Gacheles Shel Eitz Nami, the extinguishing of a wooden coal should also be okay. When he is extinguishing the coal, he is interested in protecting the public. He's not interested in the actual extinguishing of the coal per se. His intent is not for the extinguishing. The Rashi at the top, Avalo Shel Eitz, Debas Kibui Hu V'Yisur D'Raisehu. A wooden coal, a coal whose origin is from wood, lends itself to being extinguished as far as the halachic category of kibui is concerned, and as such, it's a Torah prohibition as opposed to a rabbinic prohibition. This is a doraisa prohibition. The E Karebi Shimon, and if this teaching of Shmuel was in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, namely if Shmuel really held like Rabbi Shimon, lo mishkachas kibui el miskaven lasas pachomim b'kibui. The only iser of kibui, the only prohibition of kibui, in as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, is one who extinguishes something for the purpose of it being used as a coal for future, say for future cooking, so that he'll fire up something, a piece of wood, until it gets quite burnt, and then extinguish it, thereby producing a coal. That's a case of miskavim asas pchom b'kibui v'tzoruch lehem, and he needs the coals. D'yom Rabbi Shimon malacha shein tzricha l'gufa poter olah. Rabbi Shimon has been known to say that an act that takes place for something other than its designed purpose, that's what we mean by litzricha legufa. If it's eino tzricha legufa, it's not done for its designed purpose. When we talk about designed purpose, we're referring to the various constructive activities in the building of the Mishkan. In the building of the Mishkan, different acts were done with a designed purpose in each and every one of the different acts, so that if one is extinguishing a coal for some reason other than producing a coal, that's called melacha shein tzricha legufa. And Rabbi Shimon holds that that's not chayav min haTorah, poter olah. The kibui lav tzorach gufa hu. The kibui that we're talking about here, the kibui of the coal in the Rishus HaRabim, is not for the purpose of making a coal. The Gersa says she'eino tzorach lo. The halavai shelo bo olav, that it should have only been that he shouldn't need this in the first place. V'domi lemotzi es hames lesalko me'al ponov the poter olei. This is similar to the case of someone who has a corpse in a house, and on Shabbos there's a prohibition of transferring an item from one domain to another, from a private domain to a public domain. And in this case, we have a case of someone transferring a corpse from the house, from the private domain, from Rishus HaYochid, to the Rishus HaRabim, to the thoroughfare, to the street. Rabbi Shimon would say that that's not considered a Shabbos violation, because he would have preferred that there would be no mace there in the first place. So at this point, Shmuel says that there would be an isur, a prohibition of extinguishing the gacheles shel eitz in the Rishus HaRabim. But if Shmuel held like Rabbi Shimon, the kibui of gacheles shel eitz should also be allowed. So the Gemara answers, there are two categories, halachic categories, legal categories, that need to be discussed. One is bedavar she'ein miskavein sovar lo k'Rabbi Shimon. When an act is done without the intent for the malacha outcome, for the Shabbos violation outcome, even if it does take place, Rabbi Shimon is lenient, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon with regard to the realm called Dover She'eno Miskaving. However, b'malacha she'eno tzricha legufa, where a person is doing an act which will definitely result, the outcome will definitely result, as opposed to the case of Dover Shein Miskavein, where the act or the result, the Shabbos result, will not necessarily, will not definitively take place. In the Melacha Shein Sri Gufa, the act is being done, however, for a purpose other than that which it is designed for in the Mishkan. In such a case, Shmuel holds Savar Lo K'Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, in the case of extinguishing a coal, that's a malacha of extinguishing a coal. Taking a coal and absolutely extinguishing it, and your intent is to extinguish it. However, your purpose is not for the creation of a coal. In other words, distinguishing the Gachilas Shel Eitz is a malacha, but it's Einot Sricha L'Gufo. It's not for its design purpose. The design purpose of the act of Kibbutz was for creating coals. In the example we were just dealing with, he was trying to prevent damage from resulting in the public thoroughfare. But since it's a malacha, Shein Tzricha L'Gufo, Shmuel prohibits it, in accordance with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. However, in the case of sprinkling wine on the fireplace of the Mizbeach, there isn't necessarily a case of inevitable extinguishing. It might happen, and even if it happens, he has no intention for the extinguishing to take place. Therefore, that's called a Dover She'ein Miskavin, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon with regard to that realm. Omar Rav Huna, we have naturally a slash you can see in the Gemara. We should mention that that indicates that which follows is not related to that which we just discussed. The topic in the outside margin, we have a topic heading, Nesachim Shenitme'u. These are wine offerings that became Tomei. Nisrafin b'ma'arocha shemechidim avuram al ritzvas azor. They are to be burnt in a special fireplace that's prepared for them on the floor of the azora. Omar Rav Huna, Nisachim shenitme'u oise lohen ma'arocha b'fnei atzmon v'sorfon. Nisachim that became Tomei. A fireplace is prepared, Rashi adds, on the floor of the azora. The Tomei Nesachim are not to be taken out of the Azara, and they are burnt over there. Mishum Shenema Bakudish Bo'esh Tisarev. Bakudish means in their state of Kedusha, in their location of Kedusha, namely in the Azara, they are to be burnt. Tanyo Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Adam Vashem Vamanachos Vanesachim Shenitme'u Oise Lohen Ma'arocha B'fnei Atzmon V'sorfon. So you can see in this source, we've dashed on the line on Nesachim Shenitme'u, because that's relevant to our case, our discussion. Amalei Shmuel Rav Chana Bagdiso, I see li as bei asora, bring for me, Shmuel says to Rav Chana, find 10 men, ve'ema loch kamayu, I'll tell you in front of them, Nesachim Shenitme'u was oisle marofe, asmon v'sorfon. Nesachim became Tamei, we make a separate fireplace on the floor of the Azara, and they are burnt. There. This idea of assembling 10 men is a method of making a halacha well known and establishing halacha in a public fashion. The Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, let us glance at the topic heading we have in the outside margin, the Nosei. Eze Dam Mechayev Kibbutz. There is a halacha that's found in the Torah that blood of achatos that spatters or gets on the beged of the kohen, so the blood needs kibbutz, needs to be washed out in the azora of the Beis HaMikdash, in a mokum kodesh. Before we get into the Mishnah itself, we've included some psukim that are important for this sugya. They are found written into the inside margin of our Gemara. You'll notice Vayikra Vov, Posuk Yudches, Daber El Aroin Velbonov Lemor, Zois Teras Achatos, Bemoko Mashir Tishochet Ho'ilo Tishochet Achatos, Lifnei Hashem, Kodesh Kodoshim Hi. Posuk Yudches, Hakoin Hamechate Oiso Yochaleno, Bemokom Kodosh. Teochel, Bechatzar, Bechatzar, Oyel Moyed. Posuk Chof, Kol Asher Yiga Bivsoro Yigdosh, Vasher Yizeh Midomo Al Habeged, Asher Yizeh Oleo, techabes b'mokom kodosh. This pasuk deals directly with blood of the korban that splatters on the beged of the kohen. It shall be washed. Pasuk chof aleph v'chol v'kli cheres asher tevushal boi yishover. This pasuk describes the vessels used for cooking the chatos meat. If it's an earthenware vessel, so after the cooking, the vessel is to be smashed. If it's a copper vessel, then it is to be washed out. In other words, the residue of the korban meat that's on the copper vessel must be removed through mrika ushtifa. So we turn our attention back to the Mishnah, Dam Chatos Shenitas Ala Beged. Blood of a Chatos sacrifice that splatters on the Kohen's garment, Hare Ze Toun Kibus. It requires washing. Afapi She'ena Kosov Medaber Elo B'ne'echolois. Shenemar B'mokom Kodosh Teochel. Even though the Pasuk itself speaks about those kind of sacrifices that are eaten, the Mishnah nevertheless says echad hane'echolos ve'echad hapnimios teunos kibus. Whether it be those kind of korban chatos which one eats, or if it's blood from an internal korban chatos, those were sin offerings that whose dam was sprinkled in the heichal, in the inner part of the Beis Hamikdash, in the enclosed area of the Beis Hamikdash. Whose meat was not eaten, but rather the entire carcasses were burnt. Those are the chatois hapnimios, or the chatois hanisrofim, porim hanisrofim, sirim hanisrofim. So the pasuk, when it talks about the blood of a korban chatos, a sin offering, needing to be rinsed out of a garment that it soiled, this includes all kinds of korban chatos. That's what the Mishnah says when it says echad hane'echolos ve'echad hapnimios tunos kibos shenemar toira sachatos. The pasuk uses this expression, zos tora sachatos ein domo tora achas l'chol hachatos. It's a reference to one rule for all chatos. Chatos psula ein domo to'un kibos. A chatos korban that became unfit, its blood will not have this washing requirement. Bein shoy solashas hakosher, whether the blood had been fit for zrika, and then before the zrika took place became ruined, ubein shelohoy solashas hakosher, or whether it never had a time in which it was actually fit. A zo hi shoy solashas hakosher, what is an example of a korban sacrificial blood that had a moment of being fit, she lona, blood that had been left over beyond its time, its time lapsed, v'shenitme'a, or it became tome, v'shiyasasa, or it left the azora. These cases describe dam that had been fit for sprinkling, but was ruined later. The A Zohi Shaloi Soloshasa Kosher, what's an example of Dam Chatos that never was fit for sprinkling? Shenish Chato Chutz Lizmano V'Chutz Limkomo. If the korban, if the sacrifice was slaughtered with a wrong mindset, with a mindset called either Chutz Lizmano, which the Kohen was thinking of eating the meat in the wrong time, after its design time, or in a wrong place, in an incorrect location. That's called chutz limkomo. V'shekiblu psulim es doma, or at the point of slaughtering, an unfit individual received the blood. The blood became ruined. In other words, the blood was never fit for sprinkling. The Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, no say, be'inyin chiyuv kibus, with regard to the obligation of washing out the garment that got soiled with the korban blood, marbim chatos apnimios, mematim chatos ha'oif. We include internal sin offerings, those are the sin offerings whose blood was sprinkled in the heichal. In fact, those kind of korbanos are not eaten, But we will exclude the blood of a bird sin offering from the halacha of kibbutz. So on the one hand we have an inclusion of chatas ha'pnimiyos, and on the other hand we have an exclusion of the chatas ha'oif. The Gemara. Dam chatos shenitas v'chulei. This is a quote from the beginning of the Mishnah. The e toiro achas l'chol hachatos. Notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is pointing to the line in the Mishnah where the term toiras hachatos appeared, which was the source or the basis of including even the chatos apnimios, which were not ne'echolois. So the Gemara is asking now, the e toiro achas l'chol hachatos, if this be true that there's one rule for all chatos, afilu chatos ha'oif nami, then even the blood of a chatos ha'oif, a bird sin offering that splatters on the garment, should require washing in the azora. However, aloma tanya, but why is it taught in the following Tanaic source, yochol teidam chatos ha'oif ton kibus? Talmud lo imar zos. The Tanaic source says, raises the question of a bird sin offering's dam. Does it need to be subjected to kibbutz, to the rinsing? And to that, the Bryce answers no, because of the word zos. So we see that it is excluded from the need for kibbutz. In our pasuk, let's just go over it. We have them included on the inside margin. The pasuk says zois teras achatas and pasuk yudches. So the word zois is a limitation word or an exclusionary word. With this, we therefore exclude the chatas ha'of. So if the Mishnah though is accurate in saying teras achatas, saying one rule for all chatos, why is it then that the chatas ha'of is not included? Omar ishlokish mishum bar kapara. Omar Kro. The Pasuk also says Tishochet. This was also in Pasuk Yudtes. And we understand from this word, Binishchotos HaKosuv Medaber, the Psukim that we are dealing with in the topic of Kibbutz, deals with blood from animals that are slaughtered with a knife. Nishchotos is a reference to slaughtering in a normal slaughtering fashion, to the exclusion of a bird offering, which is not shechted with a knife, it's rather its neck organs are severed with the thumbnail of the koyin, which is called malika. So the pasuk, by using the word tishochet, is coming to exclude the bird, which is nimlak. Question: the emo b'nei cholos akosef medaber kirechti v'mokom asher teochel avol pnimios lo. Why not suggest that if this pasuk is in fact limiting or excluding something, let us say quite the opposite, that the b'nei cholos ha'kosuv medaber, which would include the chatas ha'of, which is a sacrifice that after its blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, it's eaten by the kohanim. So why not suggest that because the pasuk says b'mokom kodesh teochel, we're talking about let us include a chatas of and exclude the pnimios. Avol pnimios lo. If we look in the Rashi, you'll see there's a dibur hamasil afilu chatas ha'oif nami. That's what we are suggesting. We're suggesting that now, and we'll also be suggesting that momentarily in the Gemara. So actually, before we read the Rashi here, let's wait for the appropriate place in the Gemara itself. The Gemara answers, if you're asking about why it is that we don't exclude the pnimios, the Gemara answers, Rovi Rachmona Toiras. The Torah includes pnimios through the use of the word Toras. Well, Ihochi, if that be the case, then Afilu Chatos Ha'oif Nami. Why not include the Chatos Ha'oif as well? The Gemara answers, Miyet Rachmona Zois. Because the word Zos appears, so I know to exclude something, and I'm excluding the Chata Sa'oif. The Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you see fit to include the Pinimios and exclude the Oif? Answer, Mistabro de Chatas Vema Pinimios Havile Lirbuye. It's more likely or logical that we should include the internal sin offering that come from animals. Shekane. The Gemara now lists off a number of common denominators that exist between the standard chatos, the sin offering that's eaten, the chatos achitzoine, and the chatos hapnimi. Even though this is not eaten and the chatos achitzoine is, nevertheless, and we should also emphasize before going any further, the archetype of dam chatos that needs kibbutz is the chatos achitzoine. So, at this point, the Gemara says, well, we're going to include the internal chatos because it has a number of common points with the chatos achitzoina. Shekein behemo kemoisa. The chatos hapnimi is a behemo, is an animal, just like the chatos achitzoina, as opposed to the oif, which is not a behemo. And also ushchito kemoisa. It's slaughtered. The pnimi is slaughtered like the chitzoina, as opposed to an oif. Shchitas tzafon. It's slaughtered in the northern part of the Azora, the Chatas HaPnimi and the Chatas HaChitzoina, as opposed to an Oif. The Kabolas Kli, and the Dam is received in a service vessel, as opposed to the Chatas HaOf, whose blood is splattered directly from the Oif's body itself onto the Mizbeach. The Kabolas, that was a Kabolas Kli. The Karen, this is a reference to the application of the chatos blood on the corner of the mizbeach, the etzba, and it's an application with the finger where the blood is smeared on the mizbeach. The chuda on the not only the corner but the edge, the blood is smeared on the edge of the mizbeach, and this of course is something not characteristic of the chatos ha'oif. The ishim. And there is a portion of the animal that's placed in the fire. You have the emurim are placed in the fire, which is not the case by the chatos ha'oif. The Gemara asks, well, adarabo, if you're looking for common denominators between the chatos hachitzoina, whose dam is definitely subject to kibbutz, and something else, I would say chatos ha'oif havilei lirbuye. We should include the chatos ha'oif as similar to the chatos achitzoina, and hence require kibbutz, shekein, chutz kamoisa, ve'achila kamoisa. The chatos ha'oif is done in the azara, is it done entirely in the azara, like the chatos achitzoina, unlike the chatos hapnimi, who by definition is done, the blood sprinkling is done in the heichal as well, or is done in the heichal. Ve'achila kamoisa, the chatas ha'of and the chatas ha'chitzona are both sacrifices that are consumed, that are eaten, as opposed to the chatas ha'pnimi, which is completely burnt. So why not say that the blood of the chatas ha'of is that which is included and subject to kibbutz? The Gemara answers, number one, hanoch nefishin. The points that are in common between the chatas ha'chitzona, which we said is the archetype for kibbutz, and the chatas ha'pnimi, have Hanoch Nefishin, their points in common are much greater in number. You noticed that with regard to the Chatas Ha'of and the Chatas Ha'chitzoina, there were only 2 points they had in common. A second response, Rav Yosef Omar, Omar Kro, Yochaleno, Yochaleno Lezu, Veloi La'acheres, Bene'echolois Mi'et Hakosuv. The Pasuk that we had cited before, Pasuk Yutes in Perek Vav, mentions the eating of the sacrifice. And once again, we're dealing with the psukim that are all in the vicinity of the need for kibbutz. So we can safely say that the topic that we're dealing with refers to or is in with regard to animals or sacrifices that are eaten, and within the realm of those things that are eaten, including the chatasof, something is excluded. So we're excluding an eating type korban. Therefore, we're excluding the chatasof, insofar as the chatasof is also something that is eaten. And the parsha here, the section of the Torah, is dealing with korbanos that are ne'echolos, and when we talk about a limitation, we're excluding one of those kind of korbanos. Hence, we're excluding the chatos ha'oif. V'ela zois lomali. So, what is the role of zos? We said at the beginning of this section that the word zos was a limitation or exclusionary word. At this point, we see from Yochaleno, I am excluding the chatos ha'oif. The Gemara answers, E love zos, if not for the presence of the word zois, havi amino, yochleno equals urche de krohu. I would have thought that the word yochleno is just a manner of common speech as far as the posuk is concerned, but it's not here for exclusionary purposes. Komashmulon, the word zos, clues me in to learning the parsha as excluding some item. So I need zos. Zos is a trigger word to tell me to learn this parsha with an exclusionary approach. However, as far as what we are to exclude, that we need the word yochlana to tell me that we're coming to exclude a korban that is eaten. Rabbo Omar. Rabbo, Rashi explains. Let us look at the Rashi inside. Second narrow line, Rabbo Omar. Hai pircha de parchis. Dilma pnimios nismatu mimiuta desois. The question that the Gemara raised on Omid Aleph, that maybe we should exclude the internal sin offerings through the word zois. We should exclude them from the need for kibbutz. The rabbi is going to come to tell me that you couldn't say that. Iker kibbutz bepnimios ksiv. The primary sacrifice that requires kibbutz, in fact, is the internal sin offering. The asher yizeh, the pasuk that made reference to the blood, that was asher yizeh. This expression you can see in pasuk chaf, where it said v'asher yizeh midoma ala beged asher yizeh olea techabes makom kadosh. The word yizeh has to do with sprinkling. So the word expression asher yizeh, which appears in the context of kibbutz, is found here. Benizoas hakosuf medaber, where the pasuk that talks about the need for rinsing out garments who absorb blood is talking about blood of sacrifices that are nizois, and that is characteristic of the pnimios. So what Rabbah is doing is telling us, as we saw in Rashi, that the suggestion that pnimios should be excluded from the word zos is improbable, because the ikur kibbutz is written in the context of the pnimios. Let's read the Rashi again in its entirety, and then go over the Gemara. Rabbo Omar. We're looking at Rashi on the second narrow line. Hai pircha de parches dilmo pnimios nismatu mimuta de zois. The question that was raised on Amud Aleph, that maybe pnimios are being excluded from the need for kibbutz, for the need from washing, because of the word zois. Iker kibbutz bepnimios ksiv. Da asher yizeh benizos hakosav medaber. The primary korban or sacrifice whose blood needs rinsing is, in fact, the pnimios. That's the primary, that's the main korban for kibbutz. Because the term dasher yizeh appears in this section, benizol sekosu medaber v'hainu pnimios, shekosu ben hazo ala paroches. The word hazah is used in describing the blood application to the curtain separating the hecha from the kodesh hakodoshim, so that I know that you're dealing in the parsha of kibbutz with the chatos hapnimios. Avol b'chitzoinos ein kosuv ben hazah. The word hazah does not appear in the context of the external sin offerings. The chitzonos hu this rabbi mitoras, and if anything, it's the chatos hachitzonos that are to be included in the need for kibbutz, thanks to the expression toras, which appears. So now we turn to the Gemara, and we see the same thing in a more concise form. We're looking at the line of the Gemara, which is seven lines from the top. First word, there's a little bays in a bracket at the beginning of the line. Second word on the line, Rabba Omar. Rabba says, we are not to suggest being memai pnimios from the word zois. Omar kro asher yizeh. The pasuk in the context of kibbutz uses the expression asher yizeh, benizoas hakosuv medaber. The Torah is talking about the need for kibbutz by korbonos who are nizois, which is, as we mentioned, is something characteristic of the pnimi. The Gemara asks, v'hotana, but the Tana suggested, afal pi sheina kosuv medaber elo b'nei echolos. In order to appreciate this line, we recommend looking at the Shita Mekubetzis Ois Hei. So he adds a few words here. The Gemara is raising a question from the fact that the Tana says that the Torah speaks about korbanos that are eaten. That's Shena Kosim Medaber El B'nei Echolos. So that the Iker Kra, the Iker Pasuk, the primary type of korban that would require kibbutz would be the Chatas Achitzoinis. So the Shita Mekubetzis in Os Hei adds Hochi Komar Afal Pi Shena Kosuv Medaber Elo B'nei Echolos. Even though the pasuk is talking about the type of sacrifices that are eaten, hani mili le'inyan, and we go back into the Gemara text, the last one on is le'inyan, hani mili le'inyan mariko shtifa. This is only insofar as the korbanos that require or that necessitate the rinsing out of the pots in which they are cooked. Avol le'inyan kibbutz asher yizek siv. But with regard to kibbutz, you have to factor in or take into consideration the fact that it says asher yizeh, which describes the pnimios whose blood is treated with this hazo'o process. Its blood is sprinkled on the paroches of the heichal. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi, if so that the ikur kibbutz is by the pnimios, then the Loshon of the Mishnah, and in order to find where this quote is coming from, we've provided a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara with a little indicator that this is one is to look at Omen Aleph. This quote comes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Echod ha-ne'echolos v'echod ha-pnimios. Whether it be those kind of korbanos, sin offerings that are eaten, and those that are the internal ones which are not eaten. But what did we say a moment ago? A moment ago we said that since the Pasuk says Asher Yizeh in the context of kibbutz, the main korban that requires kibbutz, the blood of which korban requires kibbutz? The blood of the pnimios. So the order of the Mishnah should have been as follows. The Gemara continues, Echor ha-pnimios ve'echor ha-ne'echolos mi-boyalei. Whether it be the pnimios, which is the more obvious one that requires kibbutz, and even the sin offerings that are eaten, is what it should have said. The Gemara says, as far as this particular objection is concerned, answer, tani, so restate the Mishnah, or re-understand it, echod ha-pnimios, the echod ha-ne'echolos. Give primacy to the pnimios. Frek the Gemara, the Gemara asks, I hochi chatos ha-oifnami. The way we treat the blood of the bird sin offering is also through hazo'ah. So why not derive that the blood of a bird sin offering that gets splattered onto the kohen's garment requires kibbutz because it's one of the nizos, And we have the expression above, Asher Yizeh. The Gemara responds, Mi'et Rachmona Zos. But the Torah uses an exclusionary expression, the word Zos, which serves to exclude the Chatos Ha'oif. Gemara asks, well, if you're into exclusion, then Ihachi Chitzoina Nami Lo. Then if the primary sacrifice that necessitates kibbutz is the Chatos HaPnimi, why not say that Zos will exclude the external sin offering, just like you said that it excludes the bird sin offering? The Gemara answers, well, Ribo Rachmona Toiras. The Torah uses an inclusionary expression, the word Toras, that would include the Chatos HaChitzoina as requiring kibbutz. The Gemara asks, well, Uma Royis. What is it that you see to include the Chitzoina and exclude the Oif? Answer, Mistabro Chatos Behema Havile Lerbuye. It's most likely that the Chatos Behema is that, the Chatos Behema, we're talking about the external sin offering, the Behema sin offering, we should include for kibbutz, Shekain, Behema, Shchita, Tzofon, Kabolas, Kli, the Keren, the Etzba, the Chuda, the Ishim. Each one of these points we explained already at the end of Omer Aleph and at the top of this Omer. All of these are points that the Chatos HaChitzona has in common with the Chatos HaPnimi. And therefore, I'm not going to exclude the Chatos HaPnimi. Well, Adarabo, Chatos HaOif HaVele Lerbuye, if you want to include something else in addition to the Chatos HaPnimi for kibbutz, we should include the Chatos HaOif. Insofar as how we should include a shekain hazo'o kamosa, it experiences the same type of blood treatment. The chatos hapnimi, we said, is hazo'o, is done to it. Hazo'o is a sprinkling of the blood, and likewise is done with the chatos ha'oif. So why not say that the chatos ha'oif is the type of korban who's included under the heading of Toras? The Gemara answers, well, Hanoch Nefishin. The points in common between the Chatos HaChitzona and the Chatos HaPnimi are much greater in number than the points in common between the Chatos HaPnimi and the Chatos HaOif. You notice a slash that appears in the Gemara text indicating that that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, in view of the fact that we have a new geometric form as far as the sugya is concerned, we see a diamond, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a 1, and a few lines later in the Gemara, if you skim down, you'll chance upon a number 2, where you see another diamond, and 4 lines from the very bottom of the Gemara, you'll see a number 3, with another diamond that accompanies that, and by the time you get to Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, at the top of the page, if you have that available, there is a diamond with a number 4 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Well, what are these diamonds? So the Mivneh heading on the outside margin says, She'elois b'inyan dam. These are questions that have in common the issue of the sacrificial blood. Nosei number 1, the first topic that we'll deal with, is explained in our heading, Chatos Ha'oif, Shehichnis Domo Bitzavoro Lahechal, a sin bird offering whose blood was taken into the Hechal while the blood was still in its neck. Ech Magdirim Dam Bitzavor. How do we classify the blood in the neck? Of course, to appreciate this halacha, just a word of introduction should be mentioned. And that is that everyone agrees that Chatos HaChitzona blood that's brought into the Hechal, the korban is thereby ruined. Here we're talking about, of course, when we talk about Chatos blood being brought into the Hechal and causing the ruination of the korban, that is provided that there are a number of other details in place in order for this rejection to set in. Right now, our focus is on the blood in the neck of the bird sin offering. How are we to categorize that blood? What type of status does it have? So one possibility is kibbutz upasul. Oy kibivisara v'kosher. Is the blood in the neck of the chatasa'of, which is in the sense, in effect, waiting for to be sprinkled, is that considered like blood in a vessel? And if it's viewed as blood in a vessel, it would be then take on the same halacha as the dam of a chatas behema that experienced kabbalah b'kli, that was received in a service vessel and then brought into the heichal. That kind of dam is ruined. On the other hand, maybe we're viewing the blood in the neck of the bird sin offering as if it's still absorbed in its flesh, and blood that's absorbed in the flesh of an animal of a sacrifice that's brought into the heichal in that form does not ruin the korban. So let's see the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Ovin, chatos oif shehichnis doma b'tzavora b'fnim mahu. Will the chatos oif become rendered unfit based on the halacha of entrance to the heichal? As we said before, blood of a sacrifice that enters the heichal, specifically, especially if you're talking about chatos blood that enters the heichal, that ruins the korban. Here, the blood entered the heichal while still in the neck of the bird. Savora kikli shareis domi. Do we say that the neck is viewed like a service vessel, umifsel, and would thereby become ruined? Oidilmo kitsavor behemo domi, umi domo omrachmano velo bisara. Or do we view the blood in the neck of the chatasof like blood that's in the neck of the behema? And if you have a situation where a behema was shechted and brought immediately into the heichal and then taken out, and the blood would then be niskabel bekli, that type of korban would not be ruined because of the word mi doma that appears in the pasuk. And from the word mi doma, we exclude blood that is bisara, that's in its flesh. Toshma, we have a Tanaic source, Pirchasa v'nichnasa lifnim v'chazra kshera. If an animal was shechted and then it moved into the heichal and then came out again through Pirchas. Pirchas is this, or bodily movements after it's shechted. So we say it's kosher. Ha hichnisahu psula. However, if it wasn't as a result of pirchus that it entered the heichal, but rather someone brought the animal in right after being shechted, he brought it into the heichal, we're inferring from this source, that would render it unfit. V'litameich gabi kotshe kotshim dekotoni. Regarding the high-level holiness sacrifices, it teaches Pirchasa v'yotza l'dorom v'chazra k'shera. If it was shechted in the northern part of the Azara, which it should be, as it should be done, and then it flipped back into the southern half of the Azara, and then returned, it's kosher. Well, ha hotzia hu psula. Will you suggest that if after a kotshe kotshim was shechted in the tzafon, it was then carried into the dorom, it would be pasol? And that's not true. Elo hai yotzisa l'chutz, the expression of yotzisa l'chutz that we have seen, it's the elo hai yotzisa l'chutz, it's the richale, we need it for itself, and not for a diuk, not for inferring something from it. Hochinami, so too with regard to the oif. Yotzal achutz, it's drichalei. I need to know that halacha in and of itself. If we look in the Rashi, he explains this a bit further. You notice we have a triple star, which you'll find at the end of the first wide line of the Rashi. Eloha ditani pirchasa yotzisa lechutz it's trichale. That which the that which the Mishnayos teach where it did Pirchus, which is that post-Shechita movement, and it was Yotze L'chutz, needs to be taught. Tekotani Bobahi Pirchus of Yotze L'chutz, Chutz La'azara, V'chazara, Psula. Da'afilu Pirchus of Yotze L'chutz, Me'eleha, Te'nifsala B'yotze, Perek Sheni, Maisi, Lo, V'gemara. So therefore, the example of Pirchus HaLachutz was necessary to be taught on its own merits. Meaning, I need to know that very halacha, that if it flips out, through the Pirchus movement leaves the Azara, the Kotshe Kotshen become Posel. The Rashi continues, Hochinami de Kotani Pirchus Gabi Oif, the fact that it teaches me about Pirchus in the case of the bird offering, Mishomehi nokat lo voloshen pirchasa, the katoni bonami pirchasa vitzalachutz, v'chazer psula. It's used the word pirchasa not for the purpose of inferring ha hotzia hu, as the Gemara suggested in the question, or ha ichnisa hu, but rather it's there to teach me the basic halacha of pirchus v'yotzalachutz is what renders the korban unfit. But not for the inference of ha hichnisahu or ha hotziahu. So if we read that back in the Gemara again, Elohai yotze lechutz, it's derichole, it's needed for its own purpose and not for a diuk. Hachanami, with regard to the oif as well, yotze lechutz, it's derichole, the case of the bird. After Malika having been done to it, it left the Azara through Pirchus, even though it was brought back in, it's rendered unfit because of the Psul Yotze. So as we saw in the Gemara had attempted to ask, or attempted to prove, that if he would bring the blood into the hecha while in the neck, that would render it unfit. So the Gemara was doche that the proof by telling us that the case of Pirchasa that was taught is needed on its own and not taught for the purpose of making, for inferring the other case, the case of his moving it in or bringing it in. Boi Rebbe Oven. Nishbach al horitzpa viosfa mahu. Let's say you had a bird offering and the blood spilled from the neck of the bird onto the floor. And then it was gathered up. Is that blood kosher for hazaa? Omar Rava. Let's go over this question. The Gemara goes over it now with further detail. So we'll read from again. Boy, Rebbe Ovin, Nishbach al haritzpa the osfa mahu. Blood spilled from the tzavor ha'o, from the neck of the bird, onto the floor, and it was gathered up. Is it kosher? Can it be used for the hazah? There are two sides of analysis. Aleph, itzruchi hu delo itzruche rachmona klishares. Is the whole process of the sprinkling of the blood of the chatas of by holding it and sprinkling it directly from its body only because the Torah offered a leniency in saying you don't have to have a service vessel? The neck is tantamount to a klishares. If that be the case, v'hilkach oisvei v'kosher. Therefore, if it's spilled from the neck of the bird, which is viewed as a kli shares, just like blood that spills from a kli onto the floor of the azora and is subsequently gathered up, is still blood that is kosher for sprinkling. So too, we would say in the case of the chatas of nishbach al ritzpa, it would be kosher for hazor oy dilma, or the way to approach the chatas ha'of and the fact that the sprinkling is done from the body of the bird itself without a kabbalah b'kli, that could be because mifsal posal be'rachmona kli shoreis. The Torah prohibits, renders unfit the use of a kli shoreis. V'hilkach oisvoy uposal. If the bird is not viewed as a kli shoreis, it's viewed simply as the animal itself, as the bird itself. Well, in the case of behemoths, there is halacha. If blood spills from the neck of the behemoth onto the floor, it doesn't help to gather it up and use it for sprinkling. So, too, we would say over here that there would be no purpose in gathering it up because the blood, having spilled directly from the bird's neck to the floor, being that according to this approach, we're not viewing the bird as a kli, this mere spilling of it would cause it to be unfit for further sprinkling. Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava suggests, let's see from the following source. Yochol Yehidam Chatos Oiv Tolun Kibus. Could it be that the blood of a Chatos Oiv requires rinsing? Talmud Lomar Zois. So the word Zois is used to exclude Chatos Oiv. If one were to think that the Torah prohibits the use of a kli shoreis in the context of a chatas oif, that a kli shoreis the spilling of the blood into the kli would actually render it unfit. Tepukli the ha ifsil la ba'avir kli. Instead of using the gzeres hakosuv of zos to exclude the dam chatasov from kibus, why not just say that the blood became unfit? And we have to mention, just review the point, that blood that's unfit for sprinkling is not chayav in kibus. So we could have excluded the blood of the chatasov from the need for kibus by virtue of the fact that before the blood got absorbed into the garment, it was in the airspace, it was over the garment. At that point, we have to also make an assumption that avir kli is kikli. Kli in this case, the vessel, is a reference to the garment. So that once it reaches the airspace, or is over the vessel, the garment, namely moments before it's actually absorbed into the garment, at that point it became unfit. And if it became unfit, by virtue of the fact that it's in the airspace of the kli / garment, I know it's not subject to kibbutz without resorting to the word zois. The purpose of gzeres hakosev essentially is to say that blood that otherwise would have been fit for sprinkling, I need the pasuk to say that in this case, not so, it doesn't need kibbutz. But if we're suggesting that a kli shoreis is prohibited in the context of the dam of the chatas ha'oif, the dam became posel even before it got absorbed in the garment. Omar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Rav Huna says that a kli, in fact, is posel with regard to the blood of the chatas ha'oif. But you'll ask, so what do I need the word zos for? He says, "Bemadbik kli b'tzavora." We're talking about a case where the kli, let us talk about the garment of the kohen. The garment of the kohen got absorbed the blood of the chatas ha'oif immediately from the body of the bird, touching its neck, the bird, the chatas ha'oif's neck. So you don't have a situation of the blood becoming pusil before it got absorbed into the garment. The blood that was actually fit for hazah became absorbed immediately into the garment. As a result of this immediate absorption into the garment, you're dealing with blood that at no point had been rendered unfit prior to the absorption into the garment. Therefore, I would have thought that the garment absorbed blood that's fit for hazah. Therefore, I need the gzeres hakosev to exclude it. To exclude the blood of the chatas ha'oif from the need for hazah. From the need for kibus. Let's say that again. Therefore, I need the word zos to exclude the blood of the chatas ha'oif from the need of kibus. We should just take note then, if the original question was, what is the status of Nishbach Dam Chatasof al Ritzpa, and then subsequently gathered up, the Gemara attempted to prove from the Tanaic source that Rava brought in that a Kli would not passel it. The Gemara then rejected that attempted proof by suggesting that a Kli really would passel it, and the only reason I need the Gzeres HaKosov is because we're talking about a case of Madbit Kli B'Tzavora. Bominei Levi Mirebi Nitaz Mibeged Lebeged Mahu. This question refers to the blood of a Chatas Behema. Blood that got of a Chatas Behema that got absorbed into garment number one. And then there was apparently a significant amount of blood, enough so that it splattered from the first Beged into a second Beged. What is the din with regard to Kibus? Does the second garment require Kibus? Here the Gemara will present once again two sides to the question. Do we say mi beged kamo idchile lekibus o idilmo lo? Do we say that from the point that it got absorbed into the first garment, that first garment needed kibus, and there is no more need for kibus after that? Or do we say not like that, and that even the second garment would require kibus? Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi we're looking at is around six lines from the very bottom. Itchile lekibus, v'gora le minishpach min hakli ala ritzpo v'osfo v'acher kach nitaz ala beged. This case would be, we'll say, worse or weaker than the case of blood that spilled from a kli onto the floor, subsequently gathered up, and then splattered on a garment. The also came of the kosher lizrika, in the case of the blood that spilled from a kli shores of in the case of a chatas behema, and was subsequently gathered up. You're talking about blood that was fit for zrika. That's called roi lahazah karina bay. It's fit for hazah, and hence something that would generate a need for kibus. Avol al habeged is kuki iskik lekibus, but blood that splattered onto garment number one that necessitated kibus, idchi mitoras dam hazah, it's pushed away from the category of blood fit for hazah, velo karina be roui lahazah. The blood that got absorbed into the garment, into garment number one, is blood that is now designed for kibus, namely it's destined, it's labeled as requiring kibus, not labeled as requiring hazah. It's not blood that I will use any further for hazah, and as a result of that, that blood that goes from garment into one that was relegated to the realm of kibus, when it hits number two, garment number two, the low boy kibus hayachron, as Rashi concludes, the second garment would not necessitate kibus. That's one possibility, and of course the Gemara had said, oh, dil molo, or maybe we don't look at it like that. Amale, Rebbe, who was asked the question, says, zu she'ela, this is a nice question. And he answers further, to'un kibus. The blood that got absorbed into the second garment from garment number one does require rinsing. Mi monafshach. From either standpoint, either way you look at it, e oisvoi v'kosher, ha kosher. Let's see the Rashi on that. E oisvoi v'kosher. Four lines from the bottom, Rashi says, V'afagav di'izdakik l'kibus. Even though the first garment necessitated the absorption of blood in the first garment necessitated the rinsing out. Lo batil mituras dam, kozman shelo kipso. As long as you haven't yet rinsed out the garment, the blood is still categorized as blood fit for sprinkling. Vavele kenishbach nekli ala ritzpah. So the Gemara uses the term e oisvoi v'kosher ha kosher, and we had to learn the Rashi to appreciate that. If we say that this is that the blood absorbed in the first garment is tantamount to the blood that is spilled from a kli onto the floor, hence it's still considered blood fit for hazah, and therefore would require, that blood would require kibbutz, and hence when it gets into the second garment, it would necessitate kibbutz as well. The e oisvoi upasol, if you say that blood that's gathered from the first garment is not fit, it's not fit for any further hazah. Nevertheless, ano k'Rabbi Akiva svirli. I, says Rebbe, I hold like Rebbe Akiva, the Amar Hoysel Shasa Koshev and Ifsala, Doma, Tol, and Kibbutz. Rebbe Akiva holds that even blood that right now may not be fit for Hazah, but if it had a moment in which it was fit for Hazah, that is sufficient to necessitate Kibbutz. So this too, this is blood that had a moment that it was fit for Hazah, namely before it got absorbed into the first garment, that is sufficient or enough to require kibbutz, even if the blood goes from garment one into garment number two. So Rebbe says, either way you look at it, this question that you asked has an answer, and that the blood is nitaz mibeged lebeged, the blood in the second garment also necessitates kibbutz. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.